This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, March 28th, 2024. From Studio Redwood Adjacent, I'm Sarah Lane.
From Columbus, Ohio, I'm Rob Dunwood.
From deep in the heart of Texas, I'm Justin Robert Young.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
Oh boy, do we have a good show for y'all. The news just kept coming today. It doesn't always happen in March, but it did today. So let's start with the quick hits. FTX cryptocurrency founder Sam Bankman-Fried was sentenced to 25 years in prison by U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan on Thursday for stealing $8 billion from FTX customers. That is what the court decided. Kaplan rejected Bankman-Fried's defense claim that FTX customers did not actually lose money and accused him of lying during his trial testimony. The sentencing follows a jury finding Bankman-Fried guilty on 7 fraud and conspiracy counts back in November.
For the first time, Anthropic's Claude 3 Opus LLM bested GPT-4 on Chatbot Arena, the popular crowdsourced leaderboard used by AI researchers to gauge the relative capabilities of AI language models. For the first time, the best available models, Opus for advanced tasks, Haiku for cost and efficiency, are from a vendor that is not OpenAI. Independent AI researcher Simon Willison told ARS Technica.
Swedish gaming conglomerate Embracer Group acquired game developer Gearbox Interactive 3 years ago at a $1.3 billion valuation. On Wednesday, Embracer announced it had entered into an agreement to sell Gearbox, maker of the popular Borderlands franchise, to Rockstar parent company Take-Two for $460 million. That is a big cut off of the top. Take-Two will acquire full ownership over the Borderlands, including Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, Homeworld, Risk of Rain, Brothers in Arms, and Duke Nukem franchises in this deal, and it's expected to be finalized by June of this year.
Oregon Governor Tina Kotek signed one of the strongest U.S. right to repair bills, SB 1596, into law. It passed the state legislature several weeks ago by a nearly 3-1 margin. SB 1596 will take effect next year and requires device manufacturers to allow consumers and independent electronics businesses to purchase the necessary parts and equipment required to make their own device repairs. Similar laws have been introduced in Minnesota and California.
Xputer published a series of apparent leaked images of the white Xbox Series X, showing a disc-free system with the same design overall on the exterior as the existing black Xbox Series X. It also has a robot white coating that Microsoft uses on the similar and less expensive Xbox Series S. Xputer says the new Series X will have some new internal component upgrades, such as heatsink upgrades, and will cost $50 to $100 less than the current $499 retail price and could ship this summer as early as June. All right, let's talk a little bit about how Google is going to make all of our travel plans better. At least, you know, if you're in the Search Labs program. So the company announced it's starting to roll out an update to its Search Generative Experience, SGE. That is what Google is using alongside Search for some folks who opt into the program and qualify to kind of figure out how generative models might be part of their search experience going forward. Now, this lets users pull ideas from the web, previous reviews, photos, other details that people have submitted to Google for places around the world if they might be wanting to go to one of these locales. So, an example, a user saying, plan a trip to Philadelphia that's all about history. You would get a sample itinerary that includes attractions, restaurants, maybe an overview of options for flights and hotels divided by times of day. Now, this sounds really great in theory, right? I happen to be, qualifying to play around with Search Generative. And so I put in a query earlier of like, tell me what a romantic weekend in Paris would look like. And it was like, go to the Eiffel Tower, go to the Louvre, which you are not familiar, you know, very, very big museum in the city. You know, I was sort of like, oh, okay, all right. So, you know, it's not like going crazy as far as like hiring somebody to give me like a really interesting romantic, you know, weekend in Paris. But I wanted to ask you, Justin and yeah. Rob, you know, what you think about, you know, where Google's going with this?
Well, I think a couple of things. I don't look at this for where it is today. I look at it for where it might be in 2 years, in 3 years. And to me, just being able to pull your phone out or go in front of your computer and just ask it a very conversational question like that and get answers back that actually approximate what you were looking for is kind of impressive. Now, my gut tells me that Google probably should be further along with this than what they are, seeing what their competitors can do. But they dominate search, and this is where people probably are going to first think to ask these types of questions. So I'm excited, I would say, to see how this just evolves in the time, because I think that, you know, you're going to see iteration after iteration very, very quickly. And in a year, 18 months, 2 years from now, this will be quite good to where you can get some, you know, pretty specific information about a locale that you might be in.
Couple thoughts here. Number one, a few months ago, I briefly worked with OpenAI to talk to educators about how they were using ChatGPT. This was leading up to the first fall semester that ChatGPT would have been in existence. And one of the things that a teacher in South Africa told me was that field trip itineraries was a really big deal, because one of the advantages of ChatGPT-4 was that it knew how far things were. You would be able to plan out a bus ride, and it would recommend X, Y, or Z that you'd be able to go to. Now, Sarah, I do think, knowing how this technology works, you probably picked a not great
exactly
category. Yes. There. Romance is something that is obviously personal to many people, and things that are described as romantic in various different places that they are pulling the information might not quantify it in the best possible way. But if you do want, like the examples that they said, history, food, especially if you name a certain kind of category, you're probably going to be able to get pretty good stuff, because what Google has, along with all the money and talent in the world in terms of AI, is data. And that's what this leverages, is all of this previously available data. One last thing on this. It is a replication of what you would normally search for with Google. So normally you would say the best historical tours of Philadelphia, and there'd be a blog post that was written about it at some point between, you know,
yeah,
the birth of the internet.
You know,
now
people on TripAdvisor saying, well, I didn't think it was that great, you know, or, you know, and half the time you don't even know how many of those reviews are real, because those have been gamed, sure, you know, long before.
But now Google is the product, right? Google is not bringing you to the product. Google is the product. Right. Whether or not they'll be able to monetize it in the same kind of way, we'll see. But I do think this is a great merging of what should be natural talents.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, it's like, as I said earlier, I think the technology itself is pretty cool. It's like it's but we're so early. But, you know, I always harken back to, can I talk to my phone? Can I talk to my computer like Geordi talks to the Star Trek, to the Enterprise computer? And I think that that's kind of where we're getting to where you can just have a conversation and it kind of knows, based off of the prompts it gets from the words you say to it, how to actually respond back to you. And overall, I just think that that is technology that we haven't seen before. That is a different way to search for stuff.
Yes, 100%.
All right, Rob, tell us more about Microsoft and buttons.
So earlier this week, Intel shared some of Microsoft requirements for OEMs to build an AI PC. And one of the main ones was that an AI PC must have a Copilot key. Another requirement is a neural processing unit, or NPU. This means that some brand new laptops, like Asus's new ROG Zephyrus, which has an NPU but not a dedicated Copilot key, don't meet Microsoft standards for an AI PC, but do meet Intel's. It's kind of it's all kind of confusing. Copilot key right now is just a user mappable button that defaults to Microsoft's Copilot LLM, no differently than Microsoft's old Office button defaulting to Office. Copilot doesn't currently require an MPU, although later this year, Windows 11 version 24H2 is expected to introduce several new AI features, including an AI Explorer, which should work like an advanced version of Copilot running locally. AI Explorer won't require a dedicated Copilot key, though, to launch it. But it will require an MPU. Still, it's all kind of confusing. So, Justin, my question for you is that do we think that the Copilot key is anything other than just marketing tactics by Microsoft to try to get folks to buy new hardware?
Part of this is really, really so thrilling to me because it reminds me so much of the times in technology where I was the most excited because there were genuinely really, really interesting things happening. And I would say the birth of the internet and the birth of smartphones would probably be the two biggest ones. This is not among the most exciting things, but they are indicators that very exciting things are afoot because there is a race to branding that obviously, Microsoft has an inside track on. Their investment in OpenAI has taken the company to a totally different phase. They are very much leaning on AI as something that will be a branding differentiator for them. But this is a little ridiculous right now. We have no idea if AI PC is even a term that will be used in 2 years, although certainly AI will be a part of PCs for a very, very long time to come. But they're trying to stake things out so their branded machines are the things that say the thing, essentially, in my mind.
I think half the term will be used. I think in the future, we'll be calling these things PCs.
PCs, the thing that we've called them forever.
We'll call them PCs. And here's the funny thing is that, you know, it does not take a week or two for an OEM to build a laptop. That is something that they literally work on for years. You know, there's laptops coming out today, but they've already almost finished design for laptops that are coming out a year from today.
Yeah.
So the fact that you have a company like Asus who has built a PC that should meet all the requirements for an AI PC, I'm doing the air quotes for folks who cannot see me right now, but because they didn't know that Microsoft was going to say, a month and a half ago, oh, you need to put a button on there that maps to our stuff in the cloud. There was no reason for them to do that. So for them to be left out is really kind of disingenuous, which is why Intel is like, yeah, you can call it that. We will agree to it, but we're still going to call the things that have the actual hardware required to do AI type things, we're going to call those AI PCs as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this feels like semantics. You know, it's like, okay, you know, give us a Copilot button. You know, all it does is map to something that, you know, the computer could do otherwise. It seems pretty silly, but yes, like you said, Rob, earlier, the branding of this, the marketing of this would, you know, that might work for a lot of folks. I'm just not sure that we're in a world where, you know, like the, Microsoft Windows 95, you know, start a button, you know, that kind of stuff really works anymore.
Well, let me make this differentiation. The button is silly. The making the button the thing is silly. The idea of locally run AI, that I do think will be a market differentiator. We're all coming up on tax season. And while I don't think that it would be advisable for you to upload your entire a year's worth of expenditures to ChatGPT-4 to do your taxes, you probably could. And when we look at things that we would want to do with AI, but we don't want to do into a public portal, there's a lot of stuff. And I would say among the things that we care the most about, like banking and finance, that will be very, very well used on local AI stuff. So I do think that there is a market differentiator for stuff like that, either on PC or I would not be shocked if within the next 12 months we see standalone devices that do stuff like this.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to have a mappable button that today does nothing other than, it's no different than hitting F12 if you've mapped it to something.
Yeah,
it's no different than I've got a Stream Deck in front of me.
It's the action button on my iPhone currently, which I have set up to ChatGPT.
Yeah, that's just kind of silly. But the hardware, having the processor, having the MPU, those things, that absolutely makes sense. And yeah. I don't think anybody would argue that, but a mappable button, Microsoft, that's what it takes to make your PC an AI PC along with the other stuff. It's kind of ridiculous.
Well, y'all, if you have feedback about anything that gets brought up on this show, you have a variety of ways you can get in touch with us. DTNS is very social. We are DTNS Show on X, formerly Twitter, Mastodon at mstdn.social, Daily Tech News Show on TikTok, and also DTNS Picks on Instagram and Threads.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Headlines edition. For more of Daily Tech News Show, including full discussions and other content, visit dailytechnewsshow.com.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.